The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 459, the very first episode of 2025. I hope you had a great holiday season. I know I was MIA for about a week visiting the folks in Rhode Island, but I'm back. I'm ready to get into it, and I just hope that your holiday season was great. I hope that you had a wonderful New Year's Eve, and that hopefully New Year's Day is going along smoothly as well. And hey, man, we'll have to see how this year shakes out. I'm going to try to stay a little more optimistic and say that big things are coming for all of you creative folks out there. Yours truly involved in that. I got a lot of plans for the PVD Cast and, of course, the sister podcast, Matt Talk. Real excited to bring you this episode, but I have to explain a couple of things about who my guest is and some of the kind of, I guess you could say, snags that his project has hit. I'll be talking to today Alex M. Clark. Now, Alex is an independent comic book creator with a great title called Lost in the Shuffle. It's kind of a road trip movie. Two friends who are maybe not the best at making good decisions. They're on the run from the mob and the FBI, and they got to get to Portland, Oregon to hopefully fix some of the problems that they have started along the way of their journey. And so Alex is on issue number 2. And when we spoke at the beginning of December, I want to say December 9th or 10th, we spoke, he had a Kickstarter going on. And at the time, it seemed to be kind of stuck around that 14-15% level. By being on the podcast, I was hoping that maybe we could get that number to go up some for Alex. But unfortunately, as of a couple of days ago, Alex posted on his threads and Instagram that the campaign was not successful. They did not reach their goal. Despite this bad news, as you'll hear in our conversation, Alex has a plan. All right. If things did not get funded, he was definitely going to make sure that he tries again with another crowdfunding campaign, maybe in the springtime of 2025. As Alex will note, you know, there's three holidays back to back to back. You got Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you have New Year's, where a lot of people are busy with other plans. They have their money tied up in gifts or whatnot. And so maybe it wasn't the best idea to launch during December. But nonetheless, I definitely want you to check out this episode. I want you to keep tabs on Alex's social media. When you hear that Lost in the Shuffle issue 2 is ready to go, you can help support this project. And I'm going to say it right here, right now. Alex, you have an open invitation to come back on the PVD Cast to talk about the project, whenever that may be. Stay open invitation. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I've gone a little bit long on this introduction, but I felt like I really had to explain that, you know, the time that we were recording, the Kickstarter was going, you know, hope was that things would fund, and unfortunately it didn't, and then tell you some of the ramifications or backup plans, if you will, of the funding not coming through. So with that, I just rambled a little bit more, didn't I? Anyways, with that, I need to thank real quickly a great sponsor of the PVD Cast before I talk to Alex, and that is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. Here it is, 2025, and you probably have some needs in your comic book collection that you want to cross them off. You want to checkmark them, right? You know, that missing issue of Silver Surfer. You know, you want to check out a great new Batman action figure. You want to be able to have your comics pulled every single week so you don't have to worry about getting there on time to pick up the issues. All of those things and more happen on the reg, as the kids say, I don't know if the kids say that anymore. But anyways, you know what I mean. It happens frequently at World's Greatest Comics. That's why they are a great comic book store and a proud sponsor of the PVD cast. Let me tell you, every time I go down to the store, there's something new to check out. And definitely, I mean, if you're talking about action figures, you're talking about toys, collections, graphic novels, single issues, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, if not thousands at this point now, they got it covered for you and your comic book needs. So you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And even if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you could still keep tabs on the store. They have a great website, which of course is WGComics.com. And they're really active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WGComics. Every Wednesday, Jeff is on there telling you what's coming out and what's on the racks. And they have a lot of great information. So again, if you like the Facebook and you think that's more convenient for you, once again, it's at WG Comics. And I'd like to thank everybody at World's Greatest Comics for being a proud sponsor of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Alex M. Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening I am sitting down with Mr. Alex Clark, the man behind the comic Lost in the Shuffle. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing excellent. I can't wait to hear about this project of yours because I think it's got something kind of unique to it. So I'm not going to waste any time. Tell us about Lost in the Shuffle, please.
It's a bit unique. Okay, so... Lost in the Shuffle is not what you would call a traditional comic book. It is a little bit wacky. So it's based off of what I would say is my childhood. So I'm a big movie guy. I grew up on road trip, wacky 80s movies. If you think about Midnight Run, if you think about Cannonball Run, if you think about Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, if you think about these like off-kilter, wacky road trip movies that usually end up going into some weird world of mobsters, gangsters, FBI, something where things go off the rails. And I'm also very influenced by Edgar Wright movies. So Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. I took everything in my brain and I basically said, I want to make a comic book that I want to see as a movie. So Lost in the Shuffle is essentially two idiot friends. God love them. So think about the guys from Hot Fuzz or Shaun of the Dead. And they are weighing over their heads when... Here, I'm just going to bring... Looky, I've got a comic book right here. So Quinn has a bit of a gambling problem. He is in for $35,000 to the local mob. So just think about, he's from the Midwest. Hey, Ohio. And think about the Youngstown Mafia, as we've, you know, heard rumors about them. And his best friend, Morgan, says, you know what? I have a really bad idea, but I know how we can get you that money back. So let's bump off a armored car. And needless to say, things go off the rails very quickly. And next thing you know, there's death. The FBI's after them. The mob's after them. They owe a lot of money. They're on the run and they think, you know what? Hey, your dad out in Portland, I'll bet he can get us out of this mess. So they get in a car that they buy with some of the stolen money and they head west on this adventure towards Portland to Quinn's estranged dad because they think he can get them A, away from the mob, B, some way to pay back the debt. Wackiness ensues. The FBI is after them. The mob is after them, and along the way, they pick up new friends. They experience horrors beyond all belief. There's a hitman after them. They get into more gambling debt. People are dying. Hijinks ensue.
Well, you know what?
That's the plot of Lost in the Shuffle.
Okay, and you actually stole one of my questions because I was going to say, which of the two, Quinn or Morgan, is the responsible one? And you've kind of already answered that.
Neither one are really responsible. So Quinn is what I would call the responsible one. He's the reluctant hero. He's the down on my luck. Everything sucks. My life is terrible. Nothing goes right in my life. Morgan is what you would call the loose cannon. He's the one that's like, everything's fine. We'll get through this. I got a really bad idea, but this will be fun.
Okay. All right. Where did you get inspiration from for the characters, Quinn and Morgan? Is it from your love of those 80s movies?
A lot of the 80s movies. I went straight into, like I said, Edgar Wright, definitely those movies. But I Cannonball Run, I was thinking about. Plus, just like Friends. I mean, you always have that friend who you think, you know, there's always... I mean, I grew up on like Abbott and Costello. My dad brought me up on Abbott and Costello movies, Laurel and Hardy. You always have the straight man and the funny one. You have the goofy one and the serious one. You have, there's always that juxtaposition and that, you know, dynamic. So I always like those characters. And, you know, that's just kind of where I was at in my head. And then I have personalities of both of them. So whenever I'm writing these characters, I think about like, who's the me that's down on my luck and tries to think about what's the responsible thing to do? And then who's the me that's like, you know, well, let's go do shots at 2 a.m. You know, like where are those kind of diametrically opposed personalities?
You know, I'm just going to bring this up because you've mentioned the movie now twice, The Cannonball Run. I recently did a rewatch of it. I haven't seen it in decades, right? And yeah. I forgot what an ensemble cast was in that movie.
Jackie Chan, James
Jackie
Bond.
Jackie Chan. Adrian yeah. Barbeau?
Yes.
I mean, just, I couldn't.
Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yes. Yes. I forgot about Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, who yes. are so drunk they should not be driving a car.
But they should not be driving a car. Yeah.
That's, you know.
Like Smoking the Bandit. Like, you'll see when you get into issue 2, you know, you remember Smoking the Bandit, I'm sure. And mm-hmm. you remember how they pick up Frog. They pick up yep. Sally Field. Issue number 2, they pick up their first new friend. So, you know, there's Smokey and the Bandit vibes. So, you know, there's just a lot of those like weird 80s movies that I'm sure the next generation's probably like, I never even heard of half of these movies.
Is there any comic book that you used for Quinn and Morgan? Like, was there any other characters, you know, from the DC, Marvel, IDW, whatever, that influenced you to create those two characters as well? Or
that's, I've asked so many people. I've reached out to friends, podcasters, bloggers, reviewers, everything else. And I've said, because I obviously launched Kickstarter for issue number 2 just 2 weeks ago. And I said, you know, when you think about if you like X, what are those comic books that you can think of that make sense for Lost in the Shuffle? And everyone who's read the book said, I got nothing. I can't think of another comic book that works and fits into what you've created. You've created something new and different that does not exist out there. They're like, you know, I could think of story arcs. I could think of, you know, Batman or Daredevil or Spider-Man on the run in the Midwest being dropped off in something, you know, on the whatever. I can't think of characters, but, you know, I definitely think of Booster Gold, Blue Beetle. I definitely went to that place of those two characters and DeMatteis and McGuire, like those kind of wacky blah-ha-ha-ha kind of characters. So that's where I go. I always go to the wacky, funny, idiotic people. I love comic books. I grew up on Batman, Daredevil. I go to the dark places. My wife is like, you have a dark soul. So I definitely tend more into the darker places. I'm more of a Hellboy, Batman, Daredevil, Incredible Hulk, like darker, more psychological kind of books. But yeah, when I came up with this, it was more of a, I want to see this as a movie or a TV show.
You mentioned issue 2 and Lost in the Shuffle is currently involved in a Kickstarter as we're recording this. Of course, if you're listening to it when it came out, well, the project's still alive and kicking, but it might be looking a little different. And just listen to the end in the wrap up and I'll explain all of that then. So, Alex, let's talk about it. What can folks expect in the latest edition without maybe, you know, giving away too much?
Sure. So in issue 1, obviously, things start. We have the plot is going. We know what's going to happen. So in issue number 2, they're on their road trip. They're trying to get to Portland. They're somewhere stuck in the Midwest. And I've delved deeper into my psyche of my dark recesses of my Midwestern roots. So I'm actually from the middle of nowhere, Indiana. I'm from cornfields and creepy, creepy farmers. So where I went was, okay, what if these guys are on the road and they get a flat tire and they're walking along and they get into the cornfields and they come upon a old farmer's house. And at first they think, okay, here's a farmer's house. Maybe he can calls a tow truck, gives like a spare tire or something like this. Needless to say, they come upon bullet holes everywhere on a sign that says, do not trespass. This guy, he comes out with a shotgun. Clearly he does not want people around. He invites them in. He gives them some food. They think, okay, this guy's nicer than he seems. Horrors await. There's a lot more to this farmer than so meets the eye. And now we have to find out if Quinn and Morgan can make it out of the Midwest alive. In between this story of can they make it out of creepy rural gothic horror, we do get to start meeting other characters. There's an FBI agent who is after them. So we get to meet FBI agent Richards, and we find out very quickly that he is a dirty cop. And, you know, one of those, we found him. They started doing FBI face recognition on the cameras in the alleyway after they took the money. And he breaks out of the, you know, ever popular Bourne Identity looking room full of, you know, screens. And he gets on his cell phone and calls a voice where all you can see is a mouth and says, we found him. And it's something's happening in the background. There's somebody who's, you know, playing puppet master. So dirty cop, they're somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Again, lost in the shuffle, comes from a place of they're lost emotionally. They're young 20 somethings who don't really have a future. Now they're lost in the middle of nowhere and people can't find them.
As I mentioned here real quick, you know, don't let this deter you, ladies and gentlemen, if there's some weirdness to the scheduling. And again, I'll explain all of that in the outro. But you did have some special covers made for the Kickstarter. And let's talk about the three gentlemen who did covers. Jeremy Sorrell, Robbie Raw Melendez, and is it Mark Mulaney?
Yep.
So what did those three gentlemen bring to the table for their covers that – you know, maybe, you know, it blew you away. You were like, whoa, I mean, I didn't expect this. This was good. This is great. This is fantastic. You know, what did they bring to the table for the projects?
Sure. So Mark Mulaney, he actually did a cover for issue number one. And so I wanted to have some consistency going through there. I thought that Mark, when he did a variant cover for issue number one, captured the essence of the characters really well. So he did another one for issue number two. Again, it's fantastic. He really brought the creep factor of the farmer. So the farmer's name is Old Man Snodgrass, which again goes back to a person I actually knew in Indiana whose last name was Snodgrass, who scared the crap out of me as a child. So Mark did a really great cover. Robbie, who lives here in Pickerington with me, I got to know him through the local comic scene. Awesome guy. He's actually the colorist for the book. So we've been partners for the past 6 months. He's doing colors. And I said, man, you have got to do a cover because I love his style. A lot of energy. He kind of fits that cartoony vibe that goes with the book a little bit. So I love what he did. Also, again, he likes to create covers that feel like a movie poster. Mm-hmm. And that kind of fit with the vibe that I also go with. I'm a graphic designer by trade. I'm a creative director by, you know, by day. So anything that feels like it's been kind of designed, I love what he did. And then Jeremy, I've been friends with him for a better part of 10 years. He is one of those artists that every artist I follow on social follows him. He's internet famous and he's a local here to Columbus. And he brought the creep factor. His artwork is strange and unusual, but I wish I had a style as different as his. It's just so amazing. He really brought this desolation of this farmer out in the middle of nowhere, and it just feels like death. It's really
yeah. Let's also talk about your letterer, Sean Lamberger. You said off air, I was talking to you, just making sure I got my facts correct and whatnot. You said that he jumped at the chance to be the letterer for this project. Is that true?
Yeah. So Sean and I go way back. He was actually my college roommate. We met at art school at Ball State in Indiana, and we were actually in a band together. Don't look that up. That would be weird to see those pictures. But yeah, I reached out to him because I got to a point with issue number one where I said, okay, I'm writing this, I'm drawing it, I'm inking it, I'm coloring it. I'm dead if I don't find somebody to letter this thing. So I reached out to him. I said, hey, would you ever be interested in lettering my comic book? And of course, we're both graphic designers by trade. And he was like, I haven't done anything like that in probably 20 years. And I said, oh, okay, if you don't want to do it. And he goes, no, I'm doing it. So he just had to, you know, kind of remember how to do it. And it's funny, I was on another podcast and they said, wait, you don't have a professional letterer doing that? They said, I would never be able to tell because it looks so good. And I said, yeah, it's because we're professional graphic designers. It's just a different style of designing. It's designing with a different mindset. So yeah, Sean's done a fantastic job. And every time I get another issue done, he's like, oh, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to have some fun. So yeah.
You know what? I want to ask you that about, you've mentioned, you know, your background in graphic design. Is it difficult for you to shift mindsets when you come home from, I don't know, an 8-hour, 10-hour day at work, and then you sit down and you're going to start working on the next issue? Is that difficult, or is it pretty seamless and easy for you to go, okay, I'm at home, it's time to create?
I think it's pretty easy for me because so much of my day these days as a creative director is meetings and photo shoots and everything else, that by the time I get home, drawing is so different of a mindset that it's almost a release. You know, when you get home, you're like, oh, okay, I can just sit down and just draw. I can actually be creative. You know, I went to school to be an illustrator, and then I got there and very quickly realized that there's no money in that. So they said, oh, well, if you do graphic design and go into marketing, advertising, you could actually make a living wage. And I went, oh. So I used a lot of my illustration background in my graphic design throughout the like last 25 years of, you know, having a job. So now that I can just like come home and be like, oh, I'm going to draw somebody being tied up in a barn somewhere and have blood dripping out of their face and a black eye, I'm like, oh, okay, this is fun. Like, this is the fun part. This is the awesome stuff.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Alex for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a friendly staff, a great pool system. They got you covered for your comic book fandom. If you're in the Central Ohio area, check out the store over at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics.
Can we talk about a couple of other projects here real quick before we get too far along here? Because I saw on your website that you had I guess you could call it a horror comic called Ophelia's Revenge.
you're digging out the old stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm thorough in my notes. So can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yeah. So I've worked on a couple projects for a small indie publisher out of Baltimore called Red Stylo. I met Enrica years ago. She was at a library here doing a small Comic-Con, just, you know, like, hey, I'm doing a little Comic-Con. And we just sat next to each other, and literally they didn't market the Comic-Con, so no one showed up. So we, for 8 hours, just chit-chatted. And by the end of it, she was like, hey, I'm doing an anthology upcoming. Would you like to be a part of that? It was just like an artist doing an 8-page story. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So did that. And then like 6 months later, she reached out and said, hey, we're relaunching one of my anthologies that is all based upon Shakespeare. And I was like, oh, cool, sweet. She said, I want to do a single issue called Ophelia's Revenge, which is based upon a Shakespeare. And of course, I'm like, I've never read Shakespeare. I don't know anything about Shakespeare. Like, whatever.
Same here.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, great. Like, she's very literature based in what she does. She's done Frankenstein, Edgar Allan Poe, like very literature based in the anthologies she's done. And of course I'm playing dumb, like, oh great, Shakespeare. And I said, well, what's the story about? And she says, well, it's about a demon who murders everybody at a Ren fair. And I said, oh, okay. So it's a single issue comic book about a Renaissance fair where a young lady is scorned by her boyfriend, and she goes to her friend who's a witch and says, I want you to get back at my boyfriend because he sucks and he was cheating on me. And she goes, well, here's a little spell to get back at him. Well, the witch doesn't realize that the spell that she gives her friend actually summons a demon at the Renaissance fair. And the demon comes to the Renaissance fair, crawls out of the local pond, and then murders everybody at the Renaissance fair.
Okay. So it's a feel good tale.
It's one of those. Yeah. It ends really, really well. Enrica, she's one of those people that most of what she does, she's like, hey, can you do something where you're like tearing this guy's limbs off, or like having his head cut off, or blowing his head off? And I'm like, the stuff I've done is like children's books, or, you know, like feel good, nice kind of like comic strips and things like that. And she's like, yeah, but I want you to have like weird baby fetuses in jars in a basement. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to draw that? That's a little bit weird and creepy, but okay. So she always stretches me out of my comfort zone whenever I've worked on projects for her.
What about the transfer?
Oh yeah. So that gets into another, that was the Jekyll and Hyde story, wasn't it? Yes. So that
yes,
was,
yes.
Yeah. So that was a good one too, because it was she did a Jekyll and Hyde anthology. One side was Jekyll and one side was Hyde. And I got the one that was more of the Dr. Jekyll. So it was more of a psychological thriller. And turns out that this scientist was cloning himself. And every time he cloned himself, he had to murder himself. And he had all these clone baby fetuses in the basement. So every time he would clone himself, he would have to murder himself and then drag the dead body down to the basement and bury the it was wild. I'm like, okay, so cloning himself and injecting in needles and in like a tank full of liquid. And then he's murdering and shooting himself in the head. And I'm like, one of those stories.
In all seriousness, have you ever been approached by somebody to do a story and you're like, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm going to pass.
Yeah, there was one anthology that she asked if I'd be interested in, but I was working on a children's book at the time, because a local author that I've been working with for a while, we got an actual publishing contract. So I was like, oh yeah, I'd love to work on that anthology, but you know, thank you. Again, I was writing something about like a little girl going off to the moon and like having a good time. And she was like, can you murder somebody again? And I'm like, I'm kind of like feel good nighttime bed story. And she's like, yeah, but I want you to like rip this person's head off and have them strangled. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can't do that in time. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite genre that you like to dabble in?
Are we talking comic book specific or just in life?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, either or. You can answer it either way.
To be honest with you, if I could just sit down and draw superheroes, I probably would. I pigeonhole myself into drawing things I don't actually like to draw. So my writing, I'm like, oh, let's write about cars and people driving and dying and murder and things like that. So my writing was very much what I want to see in a movie or a TV show or something like that. And I had another guy who reached out to me and was like, your book would be great as a cartoon. And I'm like, yeah, it would be awesome. I said, oh, of course. Like, that'd be cool. If I could just sit around and draw Batman, like I would totally just like draw Batman, Spider-Man, Daredevil, X-Men. Like that's what I draw. Like when I'm doodling at work, when I'm supposed to be paying attention, I'm just sitting around drawing Spider-Man. Like I'm just sitting around drawing Batman. Like that's what my natural ability is, just like draw superheroes, muscly men, women in spandex. That's what I grew up on. My first comic books were Incredible Hulk, I think number 277, and like a weird Batman with magpie on the cover. Like those were my first two comic books. So that's what I grew up on.
Did you buy those comics at a drugstore on a spinner rack, or was it in a comic book shop?
Those were from somebody at a garage sale.
Oh, even better.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Yep. My mom was like, here's like 25 cents. We found a box of comic books. And she was like, you could grab two or three. And I grabbed two. And that was it.
Okay.
Yep. I think it was like Al Milgram, Hulk, Sal Buscema, yeah, something like that. Just like Incredible Hulk and I want to say Jim Aparo, Batman, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just went to a local comic book show. You know, you probably heard of the Jeff Harper shows out there in Hilliard.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody had a truckload. I mean, they had to have 6, 7, 8 maybe boxes of 50 Cent comics.
Oh.
I was like, I can't pass this up.
Yeah.
I was like, let's do this. This is like me in college. I'm like, all right.
Knuckles, like, okay, here we go. Shake it off. Yep. I know that feeling. You're just like flipping through. Flip, 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 flip. Yeah. Got it.
It's something I haven't done in a while, to be honest with you. Because, and this is not me. I don't want this to come off as being derogatory or disrespectful. But the thing that I liked about Harper's shows was it was an old school comic book show.
Yeah.
It's not. And don't get me wrong. I was at GalaxyCon this weekend. I like to see the celebrities and I like to see all that stuff too. I get that. And that's fine. Is it exactly the same as what Jeff Harper presents? No, there was not a lot of comics on the floor. We'll just say that this weekend.
Right. Right.
So there's a certain, you know, satisfaction I had of going through all those old books and going, All-Star Squadron, I'll take that one for 50 cents, right? You know?
You like to smell it. You just want to smell an old comic book.
Yeah.
Yep. Your eyes roll in the back of your head. It brings back a weird sense. Like, I remember going into, because I'm from a really small town in Indiana, and there was this one very stereotypical guy who started a comic book shop in our small town. And I remember going in and buying Infinity Gauntlet number one and just being like, what is this? What is this cover with? Who is this George Perez guy? Who is this guy on the cover? Who is this guy with the rings? I'm like, you know, you remember that moment where you bought that one issue and that like changed your life.
Mm-hmm.
You flip it open and you're just like, what is this? Where am I in this world? You're transported to a completely different place.
Gotcha. That was me when I discovered Watchmen.
Oh, right.
It changed my life. It literally, like, I remember reading it in high school and going, wait, this is comics? Wait, what?
Right?
Huh?
Right?
Like, yeah. I was confused, but loved it at the same point, the same way. Sure. And so,
yeah, I think mine was probably either Batman Year One or Dark Knight Returns. It was because, you know, you grow up on, you know, 70s and 80s comic books and you're like, you know, whatever. And then suddenly you read something like Watchmen, you read something like Dark Knight Returns and you're just like, or Sandman.
Yeah.
And you're like a teenager and you're like, what is this? Where's mm-hmm. this been all my life? And you're like, oh, it didn't exist before. And you're like, oh, okay. We've turned the page. We mm-hmm. rounded the corner into something new.
Hmm. Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I mean, I love Garth Ennis. Anything, everything he has done. Well, not everything. There's been a few misses, but you know what?
Sure. They all Michael Jordan bangers, right?
Well, that's right. I was gonna say Michael Jordan missed some shots. You know, exactly. I mean, you know. So, but yeah, Garth Ennis, like his stuff was also revolutionary for me as well. Like Preacher and all of his World War II stuff is fantastic. You know, Battlefields and War sure. Story and. And his run on Punisher, which I always liked the Punisher as a kid. So yeah. For me, you know, just he's the man. That's all there is to it when it comes to my personal favorites.
Yeah. There's certain authors and I think illustrators that you go back to because at one point in time you read something or you picked something off the shelf and it just caught your eye. And then you read it and you're like, well, crap, I'm in. I'm a lifer now, and we're never going back.
Yeah, absolutely. The highlight for me, I did get to meet him. He actually autographed my first three issues of Preacher that I have.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah. New York City Comic Con 2010.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So that was the only goal I had. I told my other two buddies, I'm like, I'm seeing Garth Ennis. He's signing these books.
Right. Okay. You're like, and check. Done.
Yeah. So, okay, we got to get back to it because we have to fill in the folks about Lost in the Shuffle issue two. Okay. Let's go ahead and kind of discuss a little bit. As of the recording of this episode, you are about, what, 2 weeks in, you said, right, to the Kickstarter.
Yeah, about a, let's see, hold on, let me do some math. About a week and a half, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
About a week and a half. Yep. And it's slated to end on New Year's Eve, correct?
Yes. Ah, New Year's Eve, yes. My wife's birthday.
Well, that's why you picked it, right?
I just picked, okay, here's the thing. And this is why I'm in a bit of a pickle right now. So I said, I swear to God, I'm going to get this thing launched before the end of the year. I'm going to get it launched. So I said, December 1st, I'm going to launch this thing. So that way it ends before 2025. So here we are. And it's launched. And we're hovering somewhere in the like 12 to 13% range. So I'm, you know, I'm podcasting. We're talking right now, obviously. I've got some other people out there who are, you know, sharing and posting and things. I've got some, like you said, Jeremy, Mark, Robbie, they're posting. So whether we hit 100% fully funded or not, God bless America. I hope we do. Praying to God, almighty gods, whoever we want to talk to, hopefully we get to 100% fully funded. If we don't, I'm going to relaunch this thing in the spring because I did my first issue in the spring. It got to fully funded. It was great, whatever. If we don't, I'm going to do this thing anyways. Like that's the, you know, I've got numerous events coming up around Columbus. I'm going to go to, I think the Three Rivers Comic Con in 2025. Space is coming up in 2025. Like I've already got scheduled events. So issue number one is already out. Issue number two is in a Kickstarter currently. When this airs, it'll be over.
That's correct.
Whether it or not. And then, like I said, Robbie's my colorist, so we're going to start on issue number three once issue number two is put to bed and printed. So yeah, I think it's in a weird situation. Maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe I picked, maybe that's on me. If it's on me, I'll accept blame. But again, I've got this thing planned as a 12-issue series. I'm going to be working on this thing until I'm into my 50s, and I'm okay with that. So this thing is going to get done no matter what.
So where can folks keep tabs on you for the updates about what's happening, you know, with the project and whatnot? Because, again, it is kind of nebulous at this time that we're recording. But where can folks follow you, like social media, website, and stuff like that?
Oh, of course. So I'm on Instagram. Alex M. Clark. Just be aware, there's 1,000 Alex Clarks out there. And for some odd reason, there's a bunch of artists named Alex Clarks, which I found out years ago. So make sure you tuck that M in there. Alex M. Clark 78, because that's how old I am. Alex M. Clark on Instagram. Alex M. Clark 78 on TikTok. I'm on Threads. I'm also on Blue Sky. I just joined that about a week and a half ago because of the Kickstarter. I'm also, I have my website, alexmclarkart.com. I have a blog, alexmclark.blogspot.com. I've got a YouTube channel that I don't post a lot on, but I do have a YouTube channel. So if you type in Alex M. Clark, you're going to find me. Again, it's that weird M. If you type in Alex M. Clark, you're going to find me. If you type in Alex Clark, you're going to find an illustrator in England, an illustrator in Australia. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, hey, but let's talk real quick about if people want to pick up the first issue of Lost in the Shuffle. Where can they do that? Can they do that through your website, I assume?
Yeah, my website. There's a shop on my website. You can go to, it's on storeenvy.com, but you can get through it through my website. I also have an Etsy page, so you can pick it up. It's only $5. So yes, Lost in the Shuffle number one is available out there. I'll sign it, autograph it, ship it to you, whatever. And then, like I said, I'm going to be at numerous places around next year in 2025. I guess when this goes live, it will be 2025.
Yes.
This is a weird space-time continuum kind of a situation right now.
I must confess to you, I'm the leader of the TVA. So there you go.
Oh, I like that. Yes. For this minute, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last question for you, Alex, before I let you go. What are some of your future goals?
Future goals. Keep making this comic book series. future goals. So what I want to do is I want to get this series. I want to get it to probably 6 issues. And then I want to get like a graphic novel put out there, because I feel like if I can get a graphic novel put together with the first 6 and then do the back 6, I can get this into more places, like, more bookstores, because mm-hmm. it's harder to get single issue comic books into places. I've got so many ideas coming out of my butt that I would love to get to a point where maybe in the future I could actually write this thing and then have other people illustrate it and color it, so that I'm writing it, because I already have the whole entire thing outlined. I have a whole synopsis. I have the first 5 issues completely written. So what's taking me the longest time is just the illustrating it when I have a day job and a life and a family. So I'd love to get more people involved so that we can get this out faster, because I have more comic ideas in my head, more children's book ideas in my head. And, you know, there's only so many hours and days in your life. So
very true on that one. All right. Well, Alex, thanks, man, for coming on and sitting down and chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, John. This has been a lot of fun.
Good. I'm glad. All right. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Alex M. Clark, talking about Lost in the Shuffle, especially the second issue that unfortunately did not fund. But again, you heard the determination. You heard the moxie in the voice of Alex. He believes in his project. He will make it happen. So definitely keep tabs on his social media to find out when this spring he's going to launch that Kickstarter. And this time, hopefully, it'll be much more successful, and you won't have to compete with major holidays. So, Alex, again, you can come on anytime you want, all right, and talk about Lost in the Shuffle. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to start wrapping things up. First off, where can you get in touch with me if you need to do so? You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. Yeah, I'm still over there. What can I say? I'm a glutton for punishment. Anyways, you can also drop me a line if you like over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And of course, last but not least, you can shoot me an email if you want to. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different ways where you can hear it. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and the easiest way to get every single episode of this podcast. But it's also available through all of those podcasting outlets, you know, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc., etc. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting outlet, put PVDcast in the search bar. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you listen through one of those podcasting apps or outlets, please let them know that you enjoy the show by giving a rating and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, don't forget about subscribing so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But wait, there's one more way that you can hear every episode, and that is through the Facebook page @PVDcast, where every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast of the PVD cast. So once again, that's Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, as I mentioned before, you can listen through your favorite podcasting app as well as PVDcast.com. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you for checking out this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. We'll be right back. following was a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, copyright 2025.